Well, thank you again, worship team, for your ministry this morning. We are privileged here at North Star to have so many who can lead us in worship. My name is Will Ruler. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Dave is enjoying a weekend off and spending time with family. Had asked if I would step in this morning. And it's a delight to do that. Have you ever heard the words, "Are we there yet?" Anybody? Not just me. You know, anybody who has children, I'm sure, have heard the words, "Are we there yet?" Our family back in the 80s used to do a lot of traveling. We had a big green Chevy van. And we would travel to music festivals and some things that were quite a far distance. We lived in Niagara-on-the-Lake in Ontario. We had a music company distributing praise and worship music to all the Christian bookstores across the country. But periodically, we would have to go and load up the van with four kids, Annie and I, and a whole slew of CDs, cassette tapes, in the beginning, vinyl records, never 8-track tapes, though. Anyways, we would head off, and this I remember distinctly this one trip we went on. We were going to the east of Dallas, Texas, a place called Tyler, Texas. It's in the hills, northeast Texas, quite near a place that was called Last Days Ministries. Some of you may know that as the ministries of Keith and Melody Green. And we were going there because they were sponsoring and hosting a large gospel music festival, and we were going to sell our products. But the thing that sticks out in my mind, one of the very first things, was, are we there yet? Well, we weren't even 100 kilometers down the road, and it was about a 2,300 kilometer journey. And I'm not sure which of the four children would be asking that, but over the next about 24 hours plus, I'm sure all of them got their turn in, and we would have to say, no, not yet. We have to sleep overnight on the way. It's going to be tomorrow night by the time. But that question just kept coming up. Are we there yet? And it's interesting that this morning we stand on the threshold of another year. Here we are, December 29, just a couple of days away. It's going to be 2020. I'm not going to get a New Year's this year, and I'm not asking for sympathy, because I'm going to be flying to New Zealand on New Year's Eve and arriving on January 2nd, so there will be no New Year's Day. It just evaporates someplace, but you'll get to experience that, and it's just around the corner. 2020, the start of another year. 2020, the start of another decade. Can you recognize another decade standing right in front of us? James, where are you? James, oh, James is down the back. He's been bugging me all morning. What are these chairs here for? What's this rope here for? I better tell you. Supposing Pastor Brian Stewart was here about 4 years ago, and if, I don't know whether you recall, but it, for me it was as clear as day when I thought back, and Brian brought out a rope. He said, think of this as your life, and where are you? If this is birth, where are you maybe over here? Maybe you're still in that first third of your life. Maybe you're one of the ones that's in the over here in that middle third. You might be one of us who is over here someplace. I won't tell you where, but just over there someplace. Because we don't know The Lord knows. He's the one who orders our days. But we're on a journey. We're on a life journey. We're on a faith journey. And sometimes it's good to step back and take stock. Now, one of the things I did with my late wife, Annie, for 43 years, New Year's Day was always set aside for reflection, to look back where we've been, to consider where we were at then, and to identify what were the things we were moving and wanting to move towards. So I found myself in this last couple of weeks considering these three thoughts as I look ahead to 2020 and beyond. The first thing is, where am I really at in this life journey? Not just from a perspective of age, but from the perspective of how have I grown as a follower of Jesus since that point back in 1970 when I was presented with the claims of Christ and responded in faith to Him. Where am I really at? The second question is, where is it that I want ultimately to be? Where would I like ultimately to be? And thirdly, what are the steps that I need to be taking to move in that direction? What are some steps? This morning, I want to draw our attention to a passage of Scripture in Philippians. And the words of the Apostle Paul through his letter to the Philippians. We know that Paul ministered in Philippi during his second missionary journey, and he had also a short visit on his third journey. We know that of the four prison epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, that he likely wrote Philippians last. He didn't write this epistle as a response to a crisis, as he did with Galatians and Colossians, but rather this was to express his appreciation and affection for the Philippian believers. More than any other church, the believers in Philippi offered Paul practical financial and prayer support for his ministry. Much the way we do with Morgan and others, as we've sought to express that here this morning. Paul's relationship to the Philippians is different from his relationship with some of the other churches he planted. We see that in Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, where we read, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news." I love the writings of Chuck Swindoll. And Chuck Swindoll, when he does his overview of Philippians, he talks about the first chapter being joy in living for Christ. The second chapter, he talks about joy in serving Christ in unity. In the third chapter, he speaks of the joy in knowing Christ, that relationship. And then in the fourth chapter, he speaks of the joy of resting in Christ. Then he says, by centering our lives around Christ, we can experience true joy. Our scripture this morning is taken from chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. It should be up here on the screen. I'll read and you can follow along. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under control. What a wonderful passage of scripture. I want to focus in on essentially a couple of the verses there this morning. In verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. In other words, I've not arrived at perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. See, what Paul is doing is taking an inventory of his life. You know, I worked for a building supply company back in many years ago as an assistant manager, and the time of year I hated the most was inventory time, because we had a 30,000 square foot facility, and we had as staff to basically count and determine the value of everything in that space at a specific point in time. Doing inventory sometimes isn't pleasant. Looking at our own lives and taking inventory may not be something you've done often, but it's something that I encourage us, as we prepare to enter another year, to take stock. With Paul, he honestly looks back. He takes stock. He does an inventory, and then having done that, he reiterates his commitment to go forward, not to stay stuck. He was discontented with the status quo, with things just as they are. Now, it's interesting. You know, you can be stuck over in the early third of your life. You can get stuck here in the middle, and you can come up with all kinds of excuses as to why we might not want to do or be the things that God's calling us to be. Over here on this last third of our lives, it becomes particularly easy to get stuck. To say, well, I've come this far. Why should I change? Change, That word sends shivers up the back of most people. That this thought of being discontented with the status quo, being open to change. Verse 13 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Now, I'm always amazed for those people who are able to race effectively. And I've seen photographs of Josh Andres in the newspaper doing long distance running for school. And I'm always a little envious because here are people who've trained and who have the capacity to race. They don't get just part of the way around, but they see it through to the end. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." He repeats the statement that he hasn't arrived. And then he declares, "But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." You know, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Boy, he had a past. He had baggage. Now, I don't know for you, you may have baggage that you've just never been able to shed, that you've never been able to offload. Paul, remember, had a reputation as one who sought to kill Christians. If ever someone had a reason to be weighed down with guilt and shame for his past actions, it was the Apostle Paul. But here he's declaring that he's forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. 4 years ago, I had opportunity to visit Israel. And one of the highlights of the trip was standing on the Golan Heights, where at our backs was Israel. In front of us were was Syria and the city of Damascus, off on the right. And as we looked down to the left, there was this road, this winding road, heading towards the city of Damascus. Now, I don't know whether it was true or not, but the guide indicated to us that it was believed. He was also an archaeologist, but he believed that it was the road upon which Paul would have traveled on his way to Damascus, when he had an encounter with the living Christ. And his life was transformed because he encountered Jesus Christ on that road. I've often wondered, how on earth could Paul, the Apostle Paul, be able to forget the past and just keep looking forward to what lies ahead? And yet I'm reminded of his words in Philippians 4:13, where he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He had personally experienced that life-changing grace found in a relationship with the Savior. Then he allowed that encounter to result in him centering his life around this person of Jesus Christ. So what does this really have to do with you and I? December 29th, 2019, living here in Quesnel. Well, at this point, as we're transitioning out of this year into next, as we're transitioning out of this decade into the next, I think it provides us a great opportunity to step back, take stock. You've got another couple of days, 2.5 days before the New Year's arrives. Take an inventory. Take an inventory. Reflect upon these three questions I asked earlier. The first one, where am I really at in this life journey and then in my journey with the Lord? Where am I really at? Am I continuing to grow and mature? And if so, what's the evidence that this is happening? I may not have reached perfection, but compared to this point 1 year ago, how has my relationship with Christ changed? Has it changed? Am I spending time daily in His Word, in His presence, inviting Him to take control of my life, helping me to be all that He wants me to be? Or do I just drift into the day? Am I engaging with the Scriptures on a regular, consistent basis? Have I entered into a community with other believers through a life group or some other such small group? Am I serving in a ministry of some sort so that instead of just being a sponge that takes in, I'm also giving out and I'm sharing my life, my faith with others around me? How does my attitude towards my finance, my possessions, my stewardship reflect my love and my devotion to Jesus? These are all questions. Am I growing in my faith and trust in God as I face surprises, the difficulties that I've encountered this last year? Have I dealt with the baggage from my past life that I know is holding me back and keeps me from growing spiritually? Am I sharing my faith with those I encounter? And is God using me to lead others to trust Him? You know, these are all personal questions. I can only answer these questions for me. You can only answer this question for yourself. But as I open up and I begin to ask God to help me see things the way He's seeing it, I know and I can expect that He will lovingly begin to show me ways that He wants to change me more into His likeness. There's another question, question number two. Where is it that I want to ultimately be? Time spent considering this question might reveal my heart's desire in a variety of ways. Maybe it's just to be free of those recurring sins that just keep dragging me back, holding me down. Perhaps it's getting the freedom from that baggage from the past. Perhaps it's gaining new knowledge that comes through God's Word. And perhaps it's just learning to grow in the intimacy of my relationship with the Lord through worship, through praise. Well, I had a third question. What steps must I take to move in that direction from this point on? You know, change requires understanding where I am today, understanding where I desire to be, but there in between, there's got to be a commitment and there's got to be a plan that I'm willing to pursue. Some practical steps we can take. I've already mentioned, begin using a Bible reading plan if that is an area where you want to grow. Consider engaging in this mentoring-mentee relationship that Pastor Dave is going to be introducing. Come to this seminar on the 25th of January. I am so thankful for some one-on-one relationships that I have with men who are helping me grow, even on a daily and a weekly basis. I would say another thing is become available to serve in some capacity in one of the many ministries here at North Star. You know, when that need is set forth that there are helpers needed for Shine Sunday School classes, where there's a need for soccer camp, there are so many different ways that you can serve. Or you can just plug your ears to those invitations to serve. Some final things to consider. I personally believe that the Lord has exciting opportunities for this church, North Star, to be a real instrument of transformation in both in this community and out into the world through the missionaries that we are supporting. You know, He's given us an exciting vision statement. You see it on the wall. You see the names of those who in the beginning signed and said, I want to own that vision statement. And my challenge this morning is what we need to see are more of us who are willing to step up, own that vision. If you've yet to be baptized, taken that step of obedience, maybe this is the year to do that. If you've been yet to become a member of this local faith community, perhaps this is the year to stop sitting on the fence and join those who believe in the mission of this church and the importance to have a strong, positive Christian witness to Christ in this community. I guess I want to end by encouraging each one of us to give thought to these challenges so that we don't passively just kind of drift out of 2019 into the busyness of 2020, but that we're unwilling to be actively participating in being willing to change into who God wants us to be. How will you respond? It's a personal thing. I leave it with you. Take some time, even today, to just spend a little bit of time or the next couple of days. Take stock. Identify where change is needed and where we want to be, and then put in place a plan to move in that direction. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, you are a good, good Father. And Father, we love you. Oh, we desire, Father, to be all that you have called us to be the people that you saved us to be. And Lord, we ask this day, as we would consider standing on this threshold, Lord, that we might take time And as we take time, God, would you speak to us? Whether it's the still small voice of your Holy Spirit uttering to us, whether it is the words from your scriptures that just leap off the page at us. God, we just want to be available to you. We want to go forth. We want to press on. God, we want to be all that you want us to be. And so, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives thus far. We thank you for your love and your compassion, your care over each one of us. Thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.